You're listening to the Local Open Mic Podcast. I'm your host, Tim Heath, and thanks for joining us. Today, we get to get an update from Bill O'Hanlon. You may remember a year ago, we released a two-parter with Bill. Part one was released at the end of December, and part two, the first week of January. Well, a lot has been happening with Bill that he's going to catch us up on, and a lot will be happening with Bill in the coming year, and he talks about that too. So be sure to stay with us. And we have with us today Bill O'Hanlon. How are you doing, Bill?
Very good. Good to see you again, Tim.
It is good to see you. I keep up with you on all your exploits in songwriting and other things. Been just about a year ago that we interviewed. I think I published your interviews. I actually published them the last week of December and the first week of January.
There we go. Well, I have another book out since we last talked on melody writing, mastering melody writing with Clay Mills, a hit songwriter from Nashville. So that's my third songwriting book. And I'm a few chapters into my fourth songwriting book, which will be on sync, which is jargon for music that goes into movies and TVs and commercials and video games and other visual formats. And so I'm writing it with a sync expert who's gotten a bunch of sync placements and runs a sync company. So I'm about three chapters into that. So that's my book writing, and I have 341 more songs than I had than the last time we talked, because I've written almost every day this last year.
Yes, and that's really fascinating to me that you've kept that pace up. It seems like a very frenetic pace.
It's not, because I work for myself and I still have a business, but it takes almost none of my time anymore. I've really farmed out most everything I need to do. And I keep up on email and a little correspondence with people, but not too much activity. So it's about, you know, one song a day. I like writing songs. I find it easier than I did when I really got serious. So it's kind of a joy to me. And if I go a day without writing a song, I get a little twitchy. Yeah. I almost always co-write. I co-write with Paul DeMarco, who you mentioned, Lucy LeBlanc, who you've had on the program as well, I think. And I co-write with a lot of people, and I co-write regularly with some people. And we go into the room, especially with Paul DeMarco, and we'll write three songs in a three-hour session. Wow. He's already got three quarters of the song done, and we go in and tweak it a little and polish it a bit. So I have several producer friends that come up with tracks and basic ideas. Then I have other people, we just come in totally blank slate and we do it from there. So sometimes I'll write three songs at a session and then I won't write a song the next day. I'll take the weekend off or whatever. So it averages about one a day. And I like that. The only thing that's the downside of that for me is that it's hard to follow up and get all the demos or the master recordings made. I still do a fair amount of pitching. I pitch 5 or 10 songs a day because I have so many that are ready to go and that I think are way better than the songs I started writing when I got serious about this. So that's not that hard to keep up with, but it is hard to keep up with getting all the demos and the masters done. So I'm planning to cut back this next year to 3 or 4 a week, which is, and take the weekends off if I can. So I wouldn't mind writing once a day, but it's just a little hard to manage. And there's a lot of organization going on with that. I mean, it's just to keep track. I have a friend who we were sitting around doing a guitar pull, and I write with him. And he said, well, I'm going to play a song that Bill and I wrote. And then he played it. And I turned to him and I said, I have no memory of writing that song. I know we wrote it together because when you started, you know, playing it, I recognized some of the lines, but I had no memory. He said, wow. He said, that's when you know you're writing too many songs. And I said, that's right.
This last year, has it just been consumed? Has your time been consumed just with writing songs and books, or have you done other stuff?
I've done some other stuff. I'm on a holiday right now in Bonaire, 3-week holiday, taking off near the end of the year here. Yeah, and I visited relatives, and you know, I hadn't been traveling because of the pandemic, but I traveled to Nashville, and I play rounds in Nashville. I go once a month, typically, and I play 2 or 3 rounds when I'm there, which are 3 or 4 songwriters sitting there swapping songs one after another for an hour, and So I do that regularly, and I really enjoy that. It's a chance to, you know, really test out the songs and find out how I feel about them and how an audience reacts to them. So that's pretty fun. Songwriting has been a big part of it. I also have online courses, and I've done a couple of online courses and some activity with that. So, I've done a few other things.
And I've noticed you've done a few podcasts along the way, too. How's that experience been?
I like it. I mean, I was a professional speaker for a long time, and speaking is easier for me than writing. It's like falling off a log for me. I really am comfortable doing it, which I wasn't in my younger years. I was shy and a little tongue-tied. Now that it's comfortable for me, I quite enjoy it. The old joke is, you think everybody's thinking about you and judging you, and they're not even paying you that much attention. So you just relax after a while. They're much more interested in themselves and their own lives. So you just relax after a while.
Yeah, I get that a lot with the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I used to coach people to write books, and they'd say, I'm afraid somebody's going to steal my book idea if I show it to them, you know, a publisher, an agent. And I said, you're going to have to shove it down their throats to get them to even look at it. Don't worry about that. They've got hundreds of book ideas coming across their desk every day. You have to stand out from the crowd. So don't ever worry about it. And I like doing these podcasts. I really enjoy getting myself out in the world and, you know, making connections with people. So I find it fun. I say yes pretty much anytime somebody asks me, and I enjoy the conversation.
I'm completely thankful that you let me interview you a year ago. I've never forgotten it. I actually, believe it or not, once in a while, go back and I'll review some of the podcasts I've done before, not just because I'm in the business, right? And it's right. My content. But because the information in there is very valuable, and you have just a wealth of value regarding the business of music, the writing, and some of the experiential knowledge that younger artists don't actually bring to interviews. The difference between interviewing you and, say, somebody who has got their first song starting to chart on some playlist mm-hmm. or on the radio is worlds different. So the advice is considerably better coming from you than it is a young person who may not even realize what it is that got them in front of these people, right?
That's pretty good. Well, you know, it's funny because there's a songwriter you may know and some of the people who are listening may know. His name is Tom Douglas, and he wrote one of my favorite songs, The House That Built Me. He co-wrote that song. I've gotten to know him over the time that I've been in Nashville, and he says, you know, Bill, you have to write songs that younger people can't write because you've had this life experience and you've got to draw upon that. And I get that because when I was younger, I was, as we were just talking about, anxious about speaking in front of people, but also just anxious in general and worried about what people thought of me. And it stopped me from doing a lot of things that I really wanted to do, but I inhibited myself. And I've just become more comfortable just in my own skin as the years have gone on, becoming more myself and thinking, you know, I'm not for everybody, but the people that like me, and the people that like my music, and not every bit of my self-esteem or my happiness is dependent on whether people like my songs. And rejection is not a big deal for me because having written all these books and been out there in the public for a long time, I've been rejected so many times. I sort of, you know, I've got rhino skin for rejection. And if you're a songwriter or any kind of artist, I think an actor or, a visual artist, you're going to have to deal with rejection. It's just part of the deal. And if that stops you or if it hurts you too much or undermines your confidence, then you're going to stop way before you should, I think. And so, you know, me, I just figure, okay, I'm going to pitch 1,000 times and maybe one time somebody's going to say yes. That's okay with me. I don't mind those odds. As long as somebody says yes eventually, I'm happy for that. There is an amazing thing when you hear someone else do your song, even if they do it in a style that you don't love. Somebody else liked it enough to do that. I've had over 30 songs recorded by other people in the last year and a half, 2 years. And I've had two songs taken for TV and movie. So that's pretty gratifying to start to get some traction and have your songs heard by other people when you're not playing them. There's something amazing about that.
So,
it's cool.
Of course, it begs the question, which TV shows, which movies?
The movie I can't say because that's in process and they've asked me to keep that under my hat until it's out, but it's a Christmas movie. The TV show was an MTV show, it was a reality show called Bush Family Brood, and they used, this is you'll have to get used to this in TV and movies. They used 5 seconds of my chorus and they repeated it 5 times. So it was about a 25-second clip of my song, but it was just the first few words of the chorus repeated again and again. But they, it was $1,000 placement, and I said, "Do what you want with that song."
God bless them.
Send me the money and chop it up however you want. That's kind of cool to be able to. I've gotten some songs taken into libraries by sync agents who can get them placed, and so I'm getting a lot of traction in that. But mostly independent artists who with whom I've written. Or who heard my songs through one place or another. One of my co-writers was out playing around, and a couple came up to him and said, "Can we record that song?" So it's a cool thing when somebody likes your song enough to want to record it and put it out in the world. So you've had that experience, and I find that great. I mean, it's partly why I went into music and songwriting more than being an artist. I wanted other people to hear my songs, and I wanted someone else to do them that could do them in a way that moves people. So it's really cool and gratifying.
So what do you have going on this coming year? Any plans that you'd like to announce or talk about that we can break? Breaking news!
There you go. Just another book that should be out next year called Sync and Grow Rich, How Musicians and Songwriters can Supplement Their Income, Earn Extra Income, writing some music for TV, movies, video games, and commercials. So it's with a woman named Jess Furman, who's runs a sync company in California. And so that should be out next year. I plan to write more songs. I plan to have more songs recorded. And that's pretty much my plan. I plan to cut back, as I say, a little on my songwriting, but I am having the time of my life writing songs. And, you know, when I first came to Nashville, they said, "Don't try and write with hit writers. They're not going to want to write with you. You're sort of a lesser songwriter, but find your class." Like, it's like when you start high school and you're in the class of whatever year it is. And I came to Nashville and there were a bunch of people who were my peers when I came there, and we do rounds together and we become friends. And those people are starting to get some, a few of them have got record deals and a few of them have gotten some traction on the charts with their songs. And I think I'm just riding that wave up there when, the rising tide lifts all boats. So that's what I plan next year, is just more songs to be out in the world and keep doing this thing that I absolutely love. I don't know whether you saw, but when I first came to Nashville, I heard some professional songwriter, and it really stuck in my mind, say, "You have to write 1,000 songs to write one extraordinary, really great song." And I thought, at the time, I'd written 40 songs in my life. And I was like, how will I ever write 1,000 songs? And maybe he's wrong. But I just, 2 days ago, with Paul DeMarco and Lucy LeBlanc, finished my 1,000th song in my life.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And so I've been writing over 300 songs the last few years. I just wanted to get in Olympic shape. Just like those Olympic athletes write every day. They train every day. I wanted to write every day. So I got those muscles for when I had a really great idea or was in a room with somebody who had a really great idea, that I could be there and bring the best that I could to that. So this next year, I'm going to cut back a little, but I am just loving songwriting. I think it's one of the greatest things in the world to do. You've focused on it in this podcast, but and you do it, and I just think it's one of the coolest things in the world. You walk into a room, there's nothing, and then you walk out, and there's something. Sometimes one of my favorite songs in the world has come out of that. And to me, it's like alchemy. It's just like, spinning gold out of nothing, and I find it both mystifying and gratifying. It's just the coolest process that I can think of. So
wonderful. Well, that's a great place to end this update. It's been wonderful talking with you. I'm sure your fans are going to be glad to hear all the exciting news of what's happened in this last year and what's coming up for you. And we look forward to talking with you in the future. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me again, Tim.
And that concludes our update interview with Bill O'Hanlon. It was great catching up with him. A lot of amazing things have happened to him in the last year, especially those milestones and releasing books. And the upcoming year, where he has more books coming out and possibly more music that you get to hear about. Be sure to check the show notes as you go. Thanks for joining us, and remember, get up on the stage and step up to that microphone. The world is listening.